Get your Bible in your hand. Let's make a confession and statement of our expectation in God. Hold your Bible up or your device, whatever it is your Bible is in, and say, Father, I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am. I have what you said I have. And I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I am anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances in Jesus' name. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. We're going to teach tonight from the Word of God, teach, preach. There's a lesson here that God wants us to receive on the topic of our conference dealing with paradigm shifts. We're first going to read from Isaiah 43, which is the text for our conference. Dr. Jerry received in his heart this text and this theme. I'm going to follow that. I'm also going to look at Hebrews chapter 8. So Isaiah 43, Hebrews chapter 8. Let's read. I'm reading from verse 19 of Isaiah 43. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Are you those people tonight? Are you among those people? Well, give God praise. Praise Him. Come on. He said we will declare His praise. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. My topic tonight is going to be the process of your paradigm shift. Say the process of my paradigm shift. On last night, Pastor Jerry opened up this conference with a powerful message on the topic, the paradigm shift. He talked about the seismic shift. That the seismic, that term deals with earthquakes, the intensity of an earthquake. Yes. And Dr. Jerry taught us how when God is moving and shifting paradigms, it's not a minor thing. It's like a seismic shift, like on a Richter scale. It shakes everything. Yeah. And so that shaking and that, and what changes around us and how we feel, how we approach a seismic change, tells us we've gone through a paradigm shift. Now tonight, I want to say this to you, that when you feel the seismic shift and it changes things, you know something has happened. But the process did not begin with the seismic part of it. There's something working on the ground. We know in plate tectonics, the earth is moving, and it moves a certain way, and it causes earthquakes. Right. Let's talk about what God is doing in the process of preparing you for your seismic shift. You know, in earthquakes, in the natural, sometimes people aren't prepared for earthquakes. Buildings aren't ready for earthquakes. They can't stand in an earthquake. Sometimes, you know, in fact, earthquakes don't kill people. It's the buildings that kill the people. And so our building, our house, our lives, our churches, our families must be built on a firm foundation. We must recognize what the process is behind the paradigm shifts so you're ready for it. And when the seismic part comes, you don't fall apart. You aren't taken by surprise, but you can embrace what God is doing, even the intensity of what God is doing. A paradigm is defined as an example serving as a model or pattern. We have lots of patterns and models all around us. And many of those patterns and models do not fit and match God's plan for your life. I don't know about you, but before I came to Christ, those paradigms messed me up. I messed myself up following the wrong models, the wrong patterns. And so obviously being born again is the greatest paradigm shift you have received. But there's still more God is doing beneath the surface. There's a process. God's always up to something good. Before you feel the shaking, oh, please know God's already moving. He's always moving. We don't detect it. We're not aware of the process. And I want to teach you about the process of how you can be prepared for and be ready to embrace your paradigm shift. We can detect paradigm shifts when they're coming a couple of ways. When God begins to challenge your comfort zones, you're settled, you're comfortable, things are rolling along, and God begins to challenge that. That's one way to detect a paradigm shift that's in process. God begins to challenge your methods, the way you're doing things. Doing things, you're comfortable with how you do the thing that God says do. Listen, the principles never change, but the methods must change. We as a church sometimes are the last ones on the earth to adopt the methods we need to reach people in the modern day. Amen. We eventually get there. By the time we have the paradigm shift, it's time for another shift. We're so late getting to the one that God said get to. We finally get there. It's time for another change. But as Pastor Jerry says, to live is to grow, and to grow is to what? And so that's one way. Another way we can detect a paradigm shift. Another way is that you begin to look at things that to you appear to be useless or neglected or barren, like a wilderness. Those things begin to get your attention. Didn't God say, the text said, I will do a new thing. The new thing God is doing relates to doing something with a wilderness. He said, I'm going to make a road in a wilderness. I'm going to make rivers in a desert. So when you become interested in things that seem to be barren and underutilized, God is putting your attention over there because God wants to do something new. Because the thing that God needs to do is with people and circumstances that need him. The Bible said, Christ said, the sick don't need a physician. So God has sent us to be salt and light in this world. And we aren't here on this weekend. We're not here as having church. We are way past having church. We are serving God. Hey, we're not even singing songs. We are worshiping God. I don't sing songs. I worship God. And you've come all this way. You've invested three T's, your time, your treasure, and your talents to be here. You've made an investment to be here. And so far, God's been helping us, hasn't he? And I believe tonight he'll continue to help us understand the process of your paradigm shift. I want to share with you a story. We're going back to the Old Testament, and we're going to look at a couple of stories in the book of Exodus. We're going to talk about Israel. You know, Paul said the things written from old were written for our learning. We don't base our doctrine in Old Testament, but we learn lessons from people. You know, you can learn something vicariously. That means you can learn through the flesh of somebody else. They can mess up, and you see how they messed up, and you don't go that way. That's called learning vicariously. Or they do it right, and you learn from that. So we live by example. So this text we're going to read to you is going to open our hearts to see and our minds to understand the process of your paradigm shift. You know, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not do what? But where did Jesus say that? He said it in a place called Caesarea Philippi. Just a city, not just any city. Caesarea Philippi was a religious center for the worship of a pagan god called Pan. Caesarea Philippi was a place that Herod Philip rebuilt and named after himself. Caesarea means Caesar. Caesar Philip. Caesarea Philippi. And that place was known and renowned in that region for its idolatry. Or you could say it was like the gates of hell. And look where Jesus went to announce the founding of his church. He didn't go to some comfortable place, retreat center. He went to the worst place in the region and said, upon this rock of revelation knowledge, I will build my church. And now I imagine looking around and saying, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what Jesus does. He's the ultimate paradigm shifter. He goes anywhere, takes on any challenge, and will transform it by his power. This is why we are serving God today, because Jesus is the one who has the power, who alone has the power to transform and change. As the text said in Hebrews, he has obtained a more excellent ministry than the priest of old, by how much also he mediates a better covenant, the new covenant, which is established upon better promises. Say better promises. Everything we have is based on promise. God's promise literally transforms us into what we become. When God called Abraham and said, you shall be called not Abram anymore, but Abraham. Abram meant what? Father. Abraham meant what? Father of nations. 25 years before he had the first child, God began calling him Abraham. He began calling himself Abraham. He was 100 years old. Wife was 90. They first laughed at the promise of God. But after God dealt with him, his paradigm shift, listen, resulted in him saying what Paul said in Romans chapter 4. He became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he could also perform it. That's what happens. When God works with you and your paradigm shifts, the process brings you to a place of faith and confidence. Listen, you have faith in God, but confidence in what God gave you. Not faith in yourself. Faith in God, but confidence in what God gave you. Any man of God, any woman of God worth his or her salt has confidence in what God gave them. Not confidence in themselves, but confidence in the grace and the gifting on their lives. You see that? And so that was the process we see in Abraham's life. Now let's go now to Exodus chapter 15. I want to call this part of the message Adventures in Paradigm Shifts. Give it a nice name because it's a difficult story. Adventures in the Paradigm Shift. Now, this will involve the Israelites, but I want you to see yourself in context from these lessons you'll hear. See where you are in the process. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. The folks were fresh out of slavery. They lived under a paradigm or a model that was not God's will for their lives. Even though they were not treated always as cruelly as American slaves. In fact, some had comfort in Goshen. They had a lot of stuff. But having a lot of things and having possessions and being out of the will of God is not a blessing for you. Sometimes folk get a brand new car. They believe God for a car. They testify, God gave me a car. And that car cannot find the church parking lot. Now, that's called a blessing that became a curse. Amen. See, when stuff turns your mind and heart around, it's time for a paradigm shift. Amen, somebody. No, God's really good at paradigm shifts. He's really good. We've all been through paradigm shifts. We've had our model, our mindsets changed. And he's still doing it. You believe that? 15th chapter of Exodus, verse 25. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. Let me give you context. That they've been 3 days out of Egypt. And they encountered after the Red Sea opened and the miraculous deliverance, 3 days later, say 3 days later, they encountered some bad water.
Come on.
You know, some bitter water at Mara. Couldn't drink it. They complained. And so God made the water good. Here was what God said after that. And so the Lord issued a ruling and an instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring upon you the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Yeah.
Then they came to Elim, watch this, and where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. They were unhappy, and now they're happy. The problem with being happy and unhappy is if you base your life on happiness, the devil will mess with your happy. He'll make circumstances come up. I mean, just really low-level stuff disturb your peace. But the Bible says that, okay, they complained, and God blessed them. He made the waters drinkable. And then took them to a place with abundant supply of water to show them, this is what I can do for you now. Yeah. I can work in your present circumstance and take you to a better place. But the condition was this. God said he issued a ruling, an instruction that said, if you listen carefully to me. Now hear that, saints. You got to listen to God. And then he said, if you pay attention to my commands. The problem they had and the problem we have, we don't follow instruction.
Amen.
We got short attention span.
Amen.
I mean, how else can you go from a miracle and a whole sea divide and the water stack up in like gelatin and you go, and then 3 days later, 3 days later, you got a problem with the water. Like, God, then you could play, Lord, we could have died back there. Now, that's a person who needs a paradigm shift. I'm not saying you, I'm saying, you know, somebody somewhere need this word. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, human nature only pays attention to what will satisfy you in the moment. That's human nature without Jesus operating in you. That you only see what's before you, what's in front of you, what you experience in the moment. If I don't have my need met right now, I'm not happy.
Amen.
If the ship comes in, I'm happy.
Amen.
You can't live on happy.
Amen.
Don't be happy. Don't worry about it. Listen, happiness is like Kool-Aid. Just, you know, make some up, drink and feel better. What you want is the joy of the Lord. That is your strength. I don't have to be happy. Folk want to divorce. I'm not happy. Heard T.D. Jakes say, what that got to do with anything? Happiness. Anybody married for a long time, you have not been happy every day. Amen, somebody. You've gone days in a row and that, without being happy. But you still loved each other, didn't think about no divorce, because happiness is based on circumstances. So the people of Israel were trying to be happy. And happy people don't get a whole lot done because circumstances keep coming up and blocking their way. Well, God is about helping people fulfill purpose and to see beyond the present need. He will minister to you in the present need. God made the water sweet, didn't he? But then took him to a place that had abundant water. So God always, he does both. But God had to break the people of this habit they had of seeing things by the wrong paradigm. They had the old model, the old pattern, and God had to deal with that. You know, the people were delivered from Egypt, but the old saying is, God had to get what? Egypt out of them. A lot of us came out the hood, right? Some of us out of the hood, but the hood, I got saved and hood was still in me for a little while. Whatever your background, hood or otherwise, God has to change your paradigm. And he does it by two things. He says, follow my instructions. Pay attention. Think about how many times we've gotten in trouble for not doing those two things. How many folk you know are in trouble right now for not doing those two things? Been fired off of jobs, been demoted, because they will not follow instruction and won't pay attention. But thank God we're beyond that. Amen. So the paradigm shift that God brings, among other things, it will extend your vision and cause you to pay attention. You'll be less subject to happy issues, the price of gas, whatever. That stuff won't bother you anymore. He didn't speak to me. Oh, that bothered you? If a devil sees that someone not speaking to you will disturb you, he'll send, nobody gonna speak to you. He'll line them all up and look at you and say nothing. Don't let that out. Keep it to yourself. Better yet, don't respond to that. Don't be emotional. Don't deal with happy. Deal with purpose. Say, I will deal with purpose. Say, I will deal with purpose. I don't need to be happy all the time. I need the joy of the Lord, because that is my strength. You ought to praise God right there on that one. Come on. Now, the Israelites had a preference based on their experience in Egypt. Wherever you've come from in life, you've developed patterns and models and paradigms that shape how you see things, what you want from things, what you expect from things. And sometimes we expect things a certain way, and God's not looking that way anymore. Amen. Now, look at Exodus chapter 16. Let's move on here. Exodus chapter 16. So they did not understand what they needed to be able to pass through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land. They never passed that way before. They couldn't imagine, what does it take to go from this state to that state? Even you don't know. When God gives you new assignments, you have no idea. You have no idea what it's going to take to get you there. No pastor in here. If God had told you what you're going to go through in the first 2 or 3, 4 years of your pastorate, you said, I ain't doing that. I'm going to keep on what I was doing. But the thing is, God knew. God prepared you in a process. So when your paradigm shifted, pastor, minister, business owner, whatever it is, then when you come to those crises, God has prepared you for it. When the seismic part starts, you've been prepared, because you're doing two things. What two things you're doing? Number one, say it again. Number one, number two, paying attention. It says in chapter 16 of Exodus, verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out from Elim. Elim was what? The place where all the fountains and all them palm, 70 palm trees. Remember that? Left that place and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they came out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. And you have brought us out to this desert to starve the entire assembly. Them folk missed probably one meal. They talking like this. 15 days after. See, not paying attention. God said it's a test. The first thing he said, I'm giving you a test and instruction, and they're already failing the test. Amen. But God's working with them, but he always does.
Yes.
Sometimes we're hard-headed sometimes.
Yeah,
that's right. Amen. Stiff-necked. The Bible uses that funny term. Amen. Stubborn. And thank God for his mercy. Yes. Mercy is a gift before and after faith.
Yes.
You ought to thank God for mercy.
Amen.
I know I do.
Yes.
But he said this. The people said, man, we could have died back in Egypt. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them to see whether or not they follow my instructions. Is that word again? Instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days, enough to cover the Sabbath day, okay, with not working. So look at this now. God said, they said, we missed the meat. We had pots of meat. Man, we had rib tips. Man, we had brisket, chicken. We had meat in Egypt. Man, we ate all that we wanted. And now we're out here. And we're just barely getting by. That's their mindset. That's the old mind, old paradigm. See, the old paradigm says, if I don't have everything I want the way I want it, there's something wrong with my life. That's just the old paradigm. When God is shifting you, the process is to get you from this point to that point, he has to change everything in your life. Watch this. So God said, I'm going to rain bread down from heaven. And again, the people showed their short attention span and lack of attention to doing what God said. Now, complaining is another way you will bring a paradigm shift in your life.
Amen.
Oh, complaining will get you there fast because God cannot abide a complainer.
That's right.
Amen, somebody?
Amen.
There's an old video out there. Maybe you've seen this video of this lady called Kimberly Sweet Brown Wilkins who had escaped an apartment fire. She said, ain't nobody got time for that. And be caught up in a fire and smoke inhalation. You know, God is saying to us, he doesn't have time for your complaints. He loves you so much, man. God will move sometime and quicker and more harshly with us if he has to shift us out of the paradigm of complaining. So look at the story here. Let's keep going here. So the key to transitioning through your paradigm shift, again, is to follow God's instructions. And again, the folk had no idea what God would do for them. And so that God said to the people, you know, get enough of this bread coming down. We call it manna. Get enough for every day and then get enough for the weekend to last the whole weekend. The instruction was clear. But look at this text, Exodus 16, now verse 11. He says, the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you'll be filled with bread.
Yeah.
God is saying, you're about to have your last meal of meat. You're about to have, you're going to eat some meat, all right. And that's going to be it, okay? Watch this now. Then you will know I'm the Lord your God.
Yes.
That evening the quail came and covered the camp. All this fire, the bird came up there. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. So in the evening, God gave them all that meat. They ate themselves crazy.
Yes.
And that was all gone. In the morning, there was a layer of dew on the ground. Verse 14, and when the dew was gone, thin flakes of frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? They were thinking, this ain't meat. This don't look like meat to me. What is it? It ain't meat. I don't know this paradigm. I don't know. This was the seismic piece here. Because God said, your last meal of meat in the wilderness happened last night. And now I'm bringing you into the shift is happening right now. And so the Bible says they saw this substance, these flakes, these wafers, some Bibles say, did not know what it was. And so Moses said to them, the question was, what is it? Moses said, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Didn't God prophesy? I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. It sounded pretty good when he said it. But when they got there, it's little wafers. Hey, thin, not Hawaiian bread, thin wafers. I'm like, man, what is this? Oh, God is, they're in process. Say process. See, sometime in your process, God shocks you just like that. Something leaves your life. Somebody might leave your life that you had too much trust in, and you actually forgot that your source is God. Listen, resources are a blessing, but don't make the mistake of thinking your resources are your source. Only God can be your source. When you make resources your source, or look, and God see you looking too strongly, having too much faith in your stuff, that stuff may have to be moved out of the way for a season. And that's a paradigm shift, to refocus you on the priorities of God's kingdom. Amen, somebody? So the folks said, what is this? Again, where's my meat? Where's the old paradigm? But see, God never gave that stuff a name, did he? He could have called that Sunny Delight. He could have called it, you know, whatever, deliverance wafers or something. He never gave a name. Because here's the revelation on that. When the question was for these wafers and flakes, what is it? The answer is, God says, it's me. It's me. It's me. It's not meat you've had before or what you've harvested and farmed. It's not a lamb you slaughtered. What you have there in front of you is me. I supernaturally have provided this provision for you. And sometimes, people, that's disappointing to us. I expected more, God. More? More of what keeps you alive? And think about this, how God's operating here. The people had to go in a wilderness, all these miles across desert, there was no time for no butcher shop to be set up for their meat, you know what I'm saying? And butcher themselves some USDA prime and lamb chop. There was no time for that. In the wilderness, they had to travel lean and mean, had to lighten the load. And God is saying to us the same thing. For where God is taking you, you got to lighten your load. See, I've got to lighten my load. Because that stuff, all that stuff you're looking at is going to slow you down and hinder the process of your paradigm shift. Listen, everything you need is in the promised land. Just get to the promised land. Don't worry about having all your amenities on the way to the promised land. Understand the power of sacrifice. In order for God's, for you to move fast and efficient and change your mindset and have your paradigm shift, when you get to the next place, you can receive it. Be ready for it. Amen, somebody? Amen. So the Bible says that the Israelites lived on this manna, on this provision from God, really on God himself. It was God's manifestation. His own presence sustained them. I've experienced that. Have you experienced that? Being sustained by the presence of God? Amen. I mean, God's presence literally keeping you alive, keeping you encouraged. Yes. Folk walk out of your life, and God says, I'm here, and I'm enough for you. Yes. And sometimes when people walk out of your life, it's a blessing. Yes. You don't realize the time. You're hanging on to them. And sometimes God has to release people from you and you from them for the next season. Don't cling, don't hang on. Release, bless people. Say, God bless you, because you don't know the person you're hanging on to you know, or the thing you're hanging on to may be the very thing that keeps you in the old paradigm.
Amen.
The new paradigm, y'all, is about innovation. It's about provision.
Yeah.
It's about greater purpose. The new paradigm has what you need. You don't understand it yet, but trust God. Get there. Say, get there. Your stuff is not your source. If you think it is, you've lost your way. Your source is God. In the new paradigm, in the old paradigm, you identify with your stuff. I got a fancy car some years ago, and I like that car. I almost love that car. To be honest about it. It was a nice car, you know, at the time for me. And then somebody dinged that car. Door opened up, bang. I felt a certain way about that. That's the best I can say. I felt a certain way. I'm not saying we welcome a car getting dinged up, you know what I'm saying? But it hurt me too much. It just, you know, I overreacted that a little bit. Like, oh, okay. And I realized, see, God, son, see, now listen, you're thinking this stuff is your source. Get the ding fixed, keep on stepping, you know. But don't let yourself get wrapped up in your stuff. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Sometimes God make you give things away.
Amen.
Just to show you. That's not what makes you. I make you. When the paradigm shift is in progress or in process, you have to release the old. Say, I must release the old. Sometimes God must shake up your world. Sometimes the Lord has to challenge your thinking because you're just hanging on and God needs you to get to the next level. It's not a paradigm shift until you release the old and embrace the new. Now listen, y'all, some of y'all here were the last people to have an 8-track. A cassette, LP records, VHS tapes. This last one's going to hurt a little bit, though. And y'all hanging on to them DVDs. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, remember that? Lot's wife said, remember Lot's wife. Why? Because when God said go forward to a new paradigm, she looked back. And became a pillar of salt, symbolizing she became immobilized. She was in the zone of judgment. Didn't get far enough away from Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen, don't forget Blockbuster. Remember Blockbuster? Remember Blockbuster? Was the place you went to rent your VHS tapes and your DVDs. You know what took down Blockbuster? A little red box. Outside the store, at the supermarket, that little red box, $4, took down Blockbuster. The paradigm shifted, y'all. And they're hanging on to the old retail model. Go in and browse all the DVDs and VHS tapes. Now, folks, I want this movie here, and I'm going to go just pay $1, $2 to get my movie. Even that's going away next now because downloads will kill that. Some of y'all, listen, some of y'all, God bless you, you are still storing your important documents on a thing called a hard drive. You actually got important stuff on hard drives that are going to crash. You're going to crash. Where's my stuff? Pastor Hudson told you. And so when we say to you, you got to put your stuff in the cloud, you're like, I don't see no clouds in the sky. You need a paradigm shift. Ask your neighbor, do you need a paradigm shift? Hard drive. What's wrong with you? Your stuff in the cloud. I don't trust the cloud. Don't trust the hard drive. My point is, listen, y'all, we have to, whatever it is, I mean, at every level, business, family, financial, ministry. We need to submit to the process. Follow God's instructions. Pay attention. Because that's your way through your wilderness. And that's your entrance into the new paradigm. Let's finish up here where we started. In Isaiah 43. Let's go back there and finish up right here. Now watch this. He said, "Behold, I do a new thing. It shall spring forth." Ain't no question about it springing. Ain't no question about it coming, y'all. It's in process. Amen. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? That's the question mark. The question isn't shall it come. The question is shall you perceive it?
Come on.
Are you in position? There are folk who are not in the conference who could have been in the conference who won't see their paradigm shift, at least not this weekend. Because if you're out of position, you won't see. How can you see if you're out of position? Not paying attention. God said, go to the conference. That's an instruction. When you're at the conference, listen to the speakers. That's an instruction. Pay attention. Everything hinges on this too simple. It's a deep revelation. It's not deep. It's profound. Follow instruction. Pay attention. He says here in Isaiah 43, I will even make a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I mean, it's a wilderness because there's no road, no rivers. That's why it's called a wilderness. There are no roads and no water. He said, but this verse 20 is interesting. He says, the beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What's that mean? Well, it says this basically to me. If God can do it for a jackal and an ostrich, he can do it for me.
That's right.
Or said another way, if the jackal got enough sense and the ostrich got enough sense to recognize what God is doing, I at least have as much sense as a jackal and an ostrich. Amen? Because it says, the Bible says, because I give waters, even the beasts of the field can recognize a provision and a paradigm shift when God is bringing what has been lacking. And so he says there, basically, that if these creatures can acknowledge God, how much more can we? Then the text says this. He says, to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people whom I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. That is, we who are in the process, even before the process is finished, we're already praising God. We're already letting God change our name. He's realigning our thinking. He's giving us new scripts. We are recognizing in process where this whole thing is going. And we're selling out to God now. As the old saying is, don't wait for the victory, shout now. We're not waiting to see. We know the end game. And the Bible says that this is what God will do for us. And that these paradigm shifts that we're in process of, and you've been through one, you're going through one now probably, more will come. The process doesn't change. And I pray that you won't make the errors the Israelites made in letting complaining and short attention spans rob you of the joy of the moment of deliverance. Amen? And I believe that Jesus, again, he's the ultimate paradigm shifter, that he said, I've given you better promises. Everything you need is in the grace of God. God's grace is everything God has that he makes available to you. Y'all believe that? Let's stand. We're going to make a statement today of our expectation in God. We're going to rejoice on this and close on this. And we're going to have a lot more consideration of God than the beast of the field. We're going to acknowledge him on this moment here and let God do for us what he wants to do. And we're going to submit to the process. We're not going to be sidetracked by complaints, by difficulties, by challenges, by complaints, nothing. Mm-hmm. Say this, say, Lord,
thank you
for looking beyond my present circumstances and helping me do the same. Lord, thank you for grace to embrace change and adopt new methods. Let me see what you see and not be blinded by my selfish preferences and the lure of lesser things. Lord, empower me to follow your instructions and deliver me from a short attention span. I won't look at the things that you do in my life and ask, what is it? The new thing you do in my life isn't unknown to me. That new thing is you. I will recognize that manna is your provision sent direct to me. Help me change my thinking. Lighten my load. Get out of debt and embrace the paradigm shift in my life and ministry. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it. I rejoice in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise in here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Now listen, at a conference, any godly conference, you didn't come for the experience of the conference only, but the impartation. And the key is to, when you get home, is set aside some time to process what you've heard. To go through your notes, listen to tapes, CDs, whatever. Go back over, because your mind, listen, the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity against God. If your mind ever tells you, I got it, don't write it down, I got it. Your mind is hostile. Your carnal mind will play tricks. Write it down. Schedule time, you and God. Schedule time and sit down and work out the details of what you heard last night, this morning, this evening, and tomorrow. Because I believe we came all this distance to be transformed. Not to go home and be the same. Not to go back to old paradigms, old scripts. God's giving you a new script, a new paradigm, new marching orders. And all you got to do is two things. Follow instruction. Pay attention. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen.
What is it? Look at somebody else and say, what is it? Tell them it's